Welcome back to another edition of All Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. We got a jam-packed show for you. The transfer portal giveth and it also taketh away. We'll get into that. The Longhorns, the beneficiaries of the transfer portal this time around. There's a transfer portal linebacker visiting the 40 acres. We got Texas football win totals to discuss. Also, Bill Connolly's latest SP Plus rankings. So, yes, we'll go behind the burnt orange curtain, talk some Texas football. Peter King likes the Eagles more than the Cowboys. What say you? We got the Flex segment coming up at 3:45, but of course, NBA playoffs on the docket as well. Celtics beat the Heat, tie the series 2-2, and Mavs trying to keep hope alive and stay alive in the NBA playoffs game 4 tonight. Before we do that, let's introduce you to the rest of the crew. He was a second-round pick for the Montreal Expos, but a first-round pick for the Austin Radio Network, originally committed to the University of Texas, but decided to forego the 40 acres and the burnt orange to chase his dream and the cheese. Pimping ain't easy, but for this man, it's a breeze. Ladies and gentlemen, he is my man and yours, Mike Hardball Hart. What's going on, brother? How you doing?
What it do, Rob Babers? Mm-hmm. We got a lot to get into, and we got awards to get out to for the University of Texas baseball team as they start to get into the postseason. But let's get right into it right now. He hails from H-Town with the get down. He's a lifetime Longhorn and a proud card-carrying member of DBU. Legendary Longhorn Derek Johnson called him the best cover corner he'd ever seen. He's a former NFL DB that still has a passion for film study. He's not a fan of white condiments, but he is a fan of you, the listeners. He is our man. Rob Babers.
I appreciate that intro, brother. Gets yes, better and better every time. And let's not waste any time introducing the real MVP of the show. He's the Idealionaire. He's also one of the hardest working members of the ARN family. He's got a hustler spirit, period, and he is the real MVP. And he is the man who has resurrected one of my all-time greatest segments ever. He sent it out today. You know, he's been working on things behind the scenes. I don't know what he's paid, but he's underpaid. Patrick Davis. What's going on, Patrick? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Ready for the show. Ready to get going.
All right, now, Patrick, I've been working hard. Like I said, you said you had some projects you was working on this weekend. I'm assuming this was one of the projects.
This has been going for about 2 weeks.
So for those who don't know, basically, Patrick decided that he was going to resurrect one of my all-time favorite segments, which is the unnecessary censorship of Craig Way. I'm not talented enough to do it. He is. So he decided to resurrect it. So did you take some of the highlights from the 2022 regular season?
Yes, we took some highlights, and it's a little bit of a process to go through.
Oh, it is.
15 to 20 highlights a game to find anything that could kind of be funny to do. Hopefully we got some that'll be kind of funny. But yeah, it's a little bit of a process to go through it. But but you know, as we say, we're a show for the people.
Damn right we are.
It's Mark and Aaron, a show of the people.
Yes, yep. Right.
Ball Don't Lie is a show for the people. Mm-hmm. Instant Serious is a show with people.
I heard that line last night. That was a good line. Yeah. I heard that line live last night. That was a good line.
So we're the show for the people. I want to give them something.
I like
no,
it.
No, it's great. And Harj and I have not heard it, so we'll be hearing it real time for the first time, just like all of you. And we'll do that at 5:45. We're going to talk some Texas baseball. As Harj mentioned, the all Big 12 teams and honors have been announced and released, so we'll get to that. Ivan Melendez, the Hispanic Titanic, more as impressive as any player in the country right now, and he could end up winning Most Outstanding Player. So we'll get to that and talk about that. That's at 5:45. We'll also get to some Texas football discussion. We'll start the show off, as a matter of fact, with Texas football discussion. Tariq Milton committing to Texas via the transfer portal. And then we'll talk NBA playoffs in the four, in the six, top of the four, top of the six. Harsh Knock Life coming at 4:30. What you got for the people?
We're going to talk a lot about these awards and what's next for the University of Texas baseball team.
All right, there you go. All right, so I like that. We'll do that and talk about Ivan Melendez once again winning another award.
Shocking.
Conference Player of the Week. They just keep on coming in. So that'll be Harsh Knock Life coming up. So we'll get to Texas baseball twice. We'll get to you at 4:30, and then we'll do it again at 5:45. But 5:45 is your unnecessary censorship of Craig Way, the Texas baseball edition, which I am looking so forward to. We'll get to that too. Also, in the 6:30, interesting conversation about Pro Football Focus ranking all the NFL wide receivers on their ranking list. So we'll get to that. And Kyler Murray, a no-show at OTAs.
Hmm.
I don't know what that means, but we've had several interesting conversations about Kyler Murray on this show. I'm in Harge plugged in because he is got us plugged into the hardball, and Kyler Murray's got a lot of connections the hardball world. So we'll talk about that because Kyler Murray, I think he just wants a new contract. I believe that's all this is about. So we'll get into that, too, coming up in the 6 o'clock. Like I said, 3:30. Peter King likes the Eagles more than he likes those Cowboys. We'll see what Harge has to say about that. Yeah, he likes them Eagles, man. He likes them Eagles. They did have a really nice offseason. I'll say that. Their offseason was better than the Cowboys' offseason.
Yeah,
I don't know
doubt.
If that makes them better than the Cowboys, but a better offseason. All right, let's get right to it. You can always be a part of the show. Specs text line is the best way to do it. 512-337-3776. You also can do it via the Twitterverse. All my tweets and our tweets out there. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. And my man Harge is at Hardball Harge. And my man Patrick Davis, the real MVP, is at It's Patrick Davis. All right, Harge, how about this? The big news, you talked about it yesterday. We had the breaking news sound. And it was the good breaking news sound, and not the bad breaking news. Tariq Milton, formerly of Iowa State, and he had been there for 4 years, actually. Was it 4 years or three?
Yeah.
4 years. He 4 years. He got an extra year because of the COVID. Everybody got an extra year. Hard to keep up with that. But
wow.
I digress. He's decided, he announced it via Twitter, that he was going to enter the transfer. Well, he has already was into the portal. He announced that he was going to attend the University of Texas out of the transfer portal. This is a guy's career stats, 99 receptions, over 1,500 receiving yards in his career, averaged 15.9 yards per reception in his career, 7 touchdowns total. He did deal with injuries in that 2020 season, I believe it was. And in 2021, strangely enough, he was only targeted. I think he was targeted less than 30 times the entire year, dealing with injuries and other things. So he decided that he wanted to go somewhere else and kind of reinvigorate his college career. He believes Texas is the place. Harge, I love this move by Sark. It's an insurance policy. We all know Jordan Whittington. I love me some Jay Witt. I think if Jay Witt stays healthy the entire year, I think he can be in the same conversation with X-Man.
Right.
I think he's that type of game-changing presence, but he hasn't stayed healthy, so knock on wood for him. Isaiah Hall coming in. I mean, you brought in 6 transfer portal acquisitions in the offseason, 3 of them at wide receiver.
Right.
And he said over and over again that he was concerned with the depth at wide receivers. You're bringing Isaiah Hall, which is great, but he's got 4 career receptions. So that's another
guy.
And
they came into the, the championship game.
Yeah, and that came at big moments, clutch time, but still only 4 receptions. So that's an unproven commodity. I love Isaiah Nayor. Isaiah Nayor is I love him. I love his skill set. I think he's going to be the real deal. I think he's going to translate really well to this level, but it is a higher level, and he's unproven on this level.
Right.
So he brought in a lot of guys, but not too many proven commodities. He's the most productive and the most experienced wide receiver in your wide receiving room right now, if you look at his career. 4 years playing at Iowa State, 99 receptions, over 1,500 total yards, and this guy that started, I don't know how many games he actually started, but he started multiple years for Iowa State.
Right. And that's the guy that we keep looking at. We keep talking about it. Sark told us, I want to add at the wide receiver position. We were all hoping it was going to be Jordan Addison. Everybody was looking at it. I think anybody that saw his name in the transfer portal thought the kid was going to be coming to his school. He ended up going to USC. We all thought that originally was going to be his plan. But now you have to have a backup plan. The depth is one thing that he has always talked about. And I've talked about this, and I know that you have really been paying a lot of attention to it, Rod, because you do a deep dive into the numbers as far as what is needed. Sark has been very upfront about the fact that he wears out his wide receivers because of the routes that they run, the as much as they are on the field and off the field, he has those guys constantly moving. So as you look at what Texas can become, you needed to provide some depth. We're still looking for somebody to do the linebacker position. You're going to get into that in a little bit because there is a recruit that they are looking at that will be in town this week. But you want to make sure that you provide depth. And this is someone who knows the Big 12. This kid has been a part of the Big 12, had some success early in his career, but had to deal with a bunch of injuries the latter half of it. If he can come in, be healthy, and be well today, be well going into the season, this is going to provide a lot of depth that Texas has been desperately needing.
Yeah, what you're hoping, he only had 25 targets in 2021. So
he's
not only production declined because of the injuries, but also I think whether he fell out of favor, but the offense, I think, for them didn't really, however they evolved, it wasn't compatible anymore with Tariq Milton's skill set. But in 2019, this is the year, this was his year where he put himself on the map. 2019, 55 targets, 35 receptions, 722 yards receiving, which means he averaged over 20 yards per reception. That's the year, right? That's explosivity. That's one of the most explosive receivers in the country right there with those types of numbers. Did have three touchdowns, but this is the number that I love from 2019. 361 yards after the catch.
Yak.
So his yak numbers, yak per reception, so yards after the catch per reception in 2019 was 10.3 yards after the catch per reception.
First down.
This average depth of target, meaning when the quarterback targeted him, this is how far he was downfield. In 2019, 12 and a half yards downfield was his average depth of target. My man, give Matt Buller credit. We were doing the Longhorn Blitz podcast today, and he went and looked at 2019, looked at all the receivers who had at least 10-plus yards after the catch per reception and an average depth of target at 10-plus yards. And it was only 9 players who did it in 2019, only 3 in 2020 and in 2021. I think that was 6 actually in 2021, but 3 in 2020 and 9 in 2019. And some of the names, Antonio Gibson, CeeDee Lamb's on that list, Brandon Ayuk, Henry Ruggs on that list, Tutu Atwell on that list from 2019.
Tutu, I remember.
Yeah, Braden Johnson, Tomarion Terry. So it was in a list of guys in a rarefied air who get that deep downfield when their targets are deep downfield, and even after they catch the ball deep downfield, his average depth of target in 2019 was 12 yards. They still can get you the yak. I'm talking about explosive yak, double-digit yak yards. That's what Shanahan loves. Shano loves it. If you're a West Coast offense guy, you covet yak yards, and you like movement routes, what Sark calls his run-to-daylight philosophy. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like stop routes. He wants the wide receivers to catch the ball on the move so that he can facilitate the yak yards he's talking about and then also weaponize the speed that he covets on the outside. That's what he gets in Tariq Milton. If you can, kind of maximize and weaponize him and get him back to that 2019 status of where he was.
And then another thing you can use him for, too, Rod, is in the return game. I personally don't like seeing Xavier Worthy returning kickoffs. I think every once in a while, absolutely, you can put him back there to be able to do something.
That's true.
Because he is that explosive. But this is a guy that could take some of that pressure and that burden off of Xavier Worthy in the return game, because he's in 2018, he had 12 punt returns for 152 yards, with a long being 47 yards. So you can put somebody else out there to be able to do something else to take that pressure away from an X-Man. Because one thing we've noticed about X-Man, he gets dinged up a little bit. And you don't want him getting hurt late. You want him stronger by the end of the season. That's why you use him sparingly. And the more people that you can bring in the return game, it's a lot less stress on their body.
Yeah. And just to get into how much – Sark covets yak yards, which are yards after the catch. You go back and look at his ideal offense, right? Most recently with Alabama, and Bama's 5.4 yards after the catch in 2020 before contact. This is him on the move, running movement routes, but yards after the catch before a defender even touches you, before they put a hand on you. All right, so we're talking about yak before contact. It was 5.4 yards after the catch before contact with Alabama. And to me, that's scheming someone open. That's creating space. That was third in the FBS, second in the Power 5. Devontae Smith, 8.77 yak yards per reception. Jalen Waddle was at 9.8 yards after the catch per reception. That was the most for a career since 2014. And you go look at Jalen Waddle, he was 8 yards after the catch per reception in 2018, 12.2 yards after the catch per reception in 2019, that's in Sark's offense, and 10 yards after the catch per reception in 2020. Sark is scheming these guys open. They're speedy, which he loves. He loves speed guys, speed demons. So he's scheming them open, and you can tell he covets the yak yards because he calls his run to daylight philosophy. You do get that with a guy like Tariq Milton. Of course, you get it with X-Man. Of course, Jordan Whittington is capable of that. But that's what you get.
I love how every time you say his name, you got to knock on
it. We got to do it. Oh, we can pray. Which one do you want to do?
We all
should we do the should we do the cross? Yeah. You know, the Catholics do with the cross every time. Yeah. So do something. Do something so that we can make sure my man Jay Witt can be healthy for the entire season.
You said which one you want to do?
Which one? You want to do the luck one you believe? You're superstitious or little stitious?
Yeah.
Do that. But if you're a religious person, let's praise the Lord. Let's do something. But we make sure my man is healthy the entire year because I think he could be a game changer for him. But yeah, I mean, I like what he brings off. And you know what? My man Jeff Howe, nice little nugget he gave me on Longhorn Blitz. Do you know Tariq Milton and Isaiah Hall are from the same hometown?
No.
Bradenton, Florida.
That's IMG. IMG's right there.
So if that is the case, we know Isaiah Hall butted heads with Nick Saban a little bit.
Yeah.
So he's got, I don't know what he did, but Nick Saban thought, you know, hey, man, you know what? You need to sit down and think about what you did.
Right.
So if that's the case, then maybe, you know, this is a guy that potentially could have some issues being distracted, whatever it may be. Yep. You got a veteran presence. A guy who's been playing for 4 years. He knows what it's all about. That's why he's here. At Texas, he can be a nice, calming mentorship influence on a guy like Isaiah Hall.
Yeah, that's going to be important. This is going to be a dynamic room. There's so many different voices and personalities that is going to be in there, guys that are established, guys that are veterans, and then the new age guys that are trying to become established. And when you look at what Brendan Marion is bringing to that room as well. So that's going to be a lot of leadership. And he just developed a person into the Biletnikoff winner. So if you can get everybody on the same page to believe in the science of running this route and learning how to get off the line of scrimmage and becoming more of a team type of guy, this all could work out in Texas's favor. And I know that everybody's hoping that. I know especially at the University of Texas. But, again, we go back to what Coach Sark talked about in the very beginning. I am looking to provide more depth in our wide receiver room. He didn't get it with Addison, which would have been a whale that you have picked up on that. But now you got a chance to pick up another guy that has some skins on the wall, so to speak. The one thing we've got to continue to worry about is how is his health being managed as well.
Yeah, no, it's a good point because he has dealt with injuries too.
Yep.
I think it's a nice insurance policy.
Yep.
The chances of him being injured and Jay Witt being injured, obviously you're still dealing with Troy Meary and his injury.
Mm-hmm.
I just think you want to bring in another insurance policy of a guy that could give you some productive reps if the fit hits the shan.
Yeah.
So I love that. But I also love that he's an explosive guy. I've been saying this before. I think the deep ball is, and Sark doesn't run as many deep passes, if you believe that, as Tom Herman did. Tom Herman actually threw the ball deep more than Sark does. Now, Sark's offense may generate more explosive plays, but the difference is Sark's players catch the ball on the run, and they may get an explosive pass play because he caught it at 10 or 12 and then ran it to 25.
Yeah.
As opposed to Tom Herman, he's chunking deep balls down the field all the time with Sam Ellinger because he's got a little Jordan Humphrey and a Colin Johnson, big body receivers who can win 50-50 balls. So they threw it deep downfield more, actually, in Tom Herman's offense, but Sark wants guys to catch it on the move to generate more explosive plays, and I think they want to get more vertical in their passing game. You go look at the average depth of target for a guy like Isaiah Nayor. This is, you know, when the quarterback throws you the ball, how far you are downfield, average depth of target. And Isaiah Nayor, it was 17.7 yards in 2021. His average depth of target, it was in 2020, it was 22.
Yeah.
22 yards was his average depth of target. He would have been the Big 12 leader. The Big 12 leader last year was Marvin Mims. I know it's a different level, higher level, but this is a guy that he's a vertical threat down the field. Same thing with Tariq Milton. We just got done talking about it, right? The best thing we like about Tariq Milton is that you go look at the average depth of target for a guy in 2019, that career year that he had, and you're talking about 12.5 yards as his average depth of target. In his career, he's over 10.5 yards as his average depth of target. So that's, once again, deeper downfield, the vertical passing game. And I've always said nothing puts the fear of God in a defensive back, trust me, because I was that guy, like giving up the deep ball. So even if you don't complete the deep ball, just planting the seed of fear and doubt in that defensive back's mind will back him up one or two steps. It'll make him think twice before breaking on that curl route or breaking on that hitch route. He's thinking about that deep ball.
Yep.
That safety backs up. And even that coach, that defensive coordinator up top, he's thinking, damn, that deep ball almost got us. You know, let's back everybody up a little bit.
Right.
Everybody starts thinking about that deep ball because the one thing that is unforgivable on a sideline from a defense perspective is giving up an easy one. And an easy one is the deep ball. So I think Sark is going to try to apply that more. And we all know X-Man. Hell, X-Man had 526 yak yards last year. He had five touchdowns of 20-plus yards. That led the Big 12. He is the epitome of Sark's run-to-daylight philosophy.
So let me ask you this. When you talk about the fear of the deep ball, do you think that's what Texas defensive backs or defensive coordinators were talking about or had them playing so far off the ball because they had that fear themselves? Or were they trying to play that bend but don't break type of defense to where they were playing so far off the ball that it was like just throw it out there and get open and you can have some success too?
It's a great point because early on they were beat by the deep ball. Remember Texas Tech?
That's right.
Early on got them with the deep ball early. I think Arkansas even they ran the ball, but they still got a deep one on Deshaun James. So I do wonder if maybe they got a little less aggressive. I'm telling you, you throw the deep ball, DBs don't forget it.
Right.
DBs remember that deep ball because there's nothing that threatens the instructional integrity of a coverage like the deep ball. And you can if I was a high school coach, I'd throw the deep ball probably four times a quarter. People say that's crazy. Nope.
Right.
Because defensive backs in high school level can't defend the deep ball. They can't. I watch it all the time. They can't. They don't know how to defend it. They can't defend it. If you got Jaden Greathouse out there.
Yeah.
Right. And this was the young man Kubeka.
Kubeka. Yeah.
Man, 6'5" out there.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm throwing them guys 5, 6, 50 balls a game.
Right.
If they're one on one, we're definitely throwing it. Because most young DBs they panic. They panic when the ball's deep in the air. Every now and then you get a freak like Nathan Basher who just knows how to play it every time. But most DB, Deshaun James has probably got the best ball skills in the secondary.
I agree with that.
Doesn't know what the hell to do when the ball's thrown deep.
Right.
Okay.
That's very fair.
That's what I'm saying. I would throw more of them. I think Sark wants to throw more of them because it really does. It does a number psychologically on the defense.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Yeah, that's why I was just wondering about that because you and I have had that conversation to where it was like, why are they playing so far off the man up there?
Yep.
When they're just giving them that 8-yard hitch route
every time.
Yeah.
Seems too easy. Yeah. Troy Aikman was talking about that.
Yeah.
For the Cowboys.
Exactly.
It's like, hey, man, they're giving it to you. Just take it because the offense should take that every damn time.
Yeah.
All right. One other thing because I know we're up against it. I want to quickly get into, and we'll get back to that conversation, of course, in the 5 o'clock. I want to go to those Texas win totals from Bet Online.
Okay.
This is online sports book that put out their win totals. And we'll get to the SP Plus coming up in the 5 o'clock. But I want to get to these win totals, and you let me know if you agree or disagree. Now, it's interesting. They did win totals for most college football teams. I think all the college football teams, at least the Power 5 teams. And for the Big 12, we won't go to all the win totals. We'll start here in the Big 12. They have four teams, and well, those include Texas, four teams with at least eight, predicted to be at 8.5 wins. And they have, if you start looking at it, they have Texas as one of those teams at coming off a 5-7 year, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and Baylor. So Vegas is basically telling you they have any of those teams as a potential favorite to win the Big 12 because they're all set at 8.5 wins right now. TC, how about this? And they got another log jam. They got two log jams basically in the Big 12. They got another log jam at 6.5 wins because they got TCU, Iowa State, and K-State all at 6.5 wins. And then there's a drop off, West Virginia and Texas Tech at 5.5 wins, Kansas at 2.5 wins. So they're telling you Baylor, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Texas are their favorites to win the Big 12, but they cannot tell you which one's going to separate.
Yeah, and that's what we talked about yesterday when I said to you, I said, Rod, this is probably going to be the most wide-open season that Texas will ever have the opportunity to play in the Big 12 at because there were so many questions and not enough answers. We looked at these different teams, new coaching staffs. You talked about Kansas is the only staff that has everybody on the coaching staff returning, you know, where all the key features of this team – Kansas was the only team. So when you look at the Big 12 and what it has to offer, you also got to look at what it can take away from you. And Texas right now is just as good as everybody else on paper. Now it's time to go out to the field and see what happens. 8.5?
8.5.
8.5 is the number, and there's three teams with that number. So it just goes to show you that this is wide open.
Yeah, no, I think the big, I think what the Vegas insiders are looking at is, you know, the Big 12. There's a lot of turnover. I got the stat I keep throwing out there that Mike just referenced. There's one team in the Big 12 returning their head coach, the OC, DC, and their starting quarterback from last year, and that was Kansas. And that's if you say that Jalen Daniels is your starting quarterback, but he didn't start the majority of the games for Kansas last year.
Right.
So if you take that away and you say, well, I want the quarterback that starts the majority of the games, and maybe that quarterback is returning, but I think Jalen Daniels is projected to be the guy. I did the numbers, and I think one of the reasons that the Vegas insiders are confused and they don't know which team to, you know, predict is going to separate from the pack is because, remember I mentioned this earlier in one of my Raj rants of the day, that I'm predicting the most quarterback turnover in Big 12 history this year.
Yep.
I'm predicting you're going to get one quarterback that started the majority of the games last year that's going to end up starting game one and winning the starting job this year, and that's right. Oklahoma State Spencer Sanders. I think Max Duggan's going to lose that starting job to Chandler Morris, and Jalen Daniels did not start the majority of the games for Kansas last year. Tyler Shuck started the season for Texas Tech but got hurt. The Texas
that's
game.
Right.
So he didn't start the majority of those games. So, and everywhere else, JT Daniels from West Virginia, going to be a new quarterback. Quinn Ewers, if he wins the job, is going to be a new quarterback. Dylan Gabriel, Oklahoma, new quarterback. Adrian Martinez, K-State, new quarterback. Iowa State, Hunter Deckers, new quarterback. Blake Shapen started the three games of the year last year, but then Baylor won the Big 12 with their essentially third-string quarterback because they end up getting both of their starting quarterbacks hurt. So he just won the starting job, and he's going to be a new quarterback. There have been three occasions. There have been three occasions where the Big 12 conference has had two quarterbacks who started the majority of their games returned the next year, and that's the fewest they've had: 2012 and 2013, 2014, 15, and 2017, 18. This year, I predict only one quarterback from last year that started the majority of games will start the majority of games this year, and I think that's going to be Spencer Sanders. And I think that's partly why Vegas is like, I don't have no idea who's going to win. Is Quinn Ewers going to be great? If Quinn Ewers is great, then Texas is going to win the Big 12.
Right.
I think Vegas knows that because they have the best skill positions in the Big 12. They got a top five receiver in X-Man. They got a top five, I think the best running back in the country Bijan. And they just upgraded across the board offensively. Jaleel Billingsley is an NFL prospect at tight end. If Jay Witt stays healthy, Jay Witt's going to be great. Isaiah Nayora, Isaiah Hall. You just brought in Tariq Milton. You have the best skill positions in the Big 12. But the Kim Kardashian, Nicki Minaj, Serena Williams size, Cardi B size, but is you may have the weakest trenches and the weakest lines of scrimmage in the Big 12.
And that is you're where in that you conversation, win and lose
right?
games.
That's the problem, exactly, yep, right?
That's where win and lose games.
And the reason everybody should like Baylor is because Baylor brings back every D lineman, four mm-hmm. of the five offensive linemen, and they got an offensive line transfer from Tulsa that they brought in to help them out a little bit.
Got their quarterback who helped them win the Big 12 championship.
They upgraded that quarterback.
Yep.
So for everybody who and you looked at Connor Gavin, their offensive tackle is a really good player, didn't allow a sack last year.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a good player for them. They may have the best lines of scrimmage in the Big 12. So Vegas is looking at Baylor and going, well, Baylor's got the best O-line and D-line.
Yeah.
Texas got the best skill positions.
It's wide open, man.
How can you predict that? And then you go to Oklahoma, and there's things. Somebody says Oklahoma has the most well-rounded team. Period. And I'm like, what? All you know, the exodus of talent that left Oklahoma, right. And they still think Oklahoma may be the perennial favorite. Well, they have dominated the conference, unlike anybody's ever done in the history of the conference. So maybe they just own the damn conference. Yep. We'll see this year. And then, of course, you got Oklahoma State, who returns Spencer Sanders, who was, in my opinion, the only quarterback that's going to return that restored the majority of the games last year. So and they lost Jim Knowles.
But
Jim
he is helter skelter.
He is.
But they lost Jim Knowles. And that's a big part of what they do. Yeah. Malcolm Rodriguez was a big part of their success on the defensive side, too. So
I see what Vegas is looking at. And then you look at it, you want to know who the.
But
the,
are they trying to get our money, too? Are they trying to. Are they sipping that Kool-Aid?
They could be.
They're setting us up for the.
A little okey-doke.
That's exactly how they. That's how they build it.
But I think, because we'll talk SP Plus here, but look at returning production, which is the biggest factor in SP Plus for Bill Connelly and his rankings. You know who returns the most talent in the Big 12? Returning production? Kansas.
I was going to say Kansas.
Kansas.
I was going to say Kansas or K-State, but yeah, Kansas. Wow.
It's crazy. Like, it's weird that, you know, how they kind of look at it there, but. You know, it's what I'm saying. Like, it's crazy. Like, Kansas, I think, turns 82% of their production.
Mm. But yeah, it's going to be tough. But it's wide open. That's how we do it.
TCU returns 80% of their production. So you want a dark horse, TCU might be it with a quarterback change and a new offensive philosophy with Garrett Riley, Lincoln Riley's little brother, calling the plays. So I genuinely think Vegas is confused because I'm a little confused. Because every time I pick a team that I think can win the Big 12, they have a huge Shakespearean flaw. Yeah. They have a tragic flaw. Texas, lines of scrimmage, tragic flaw. For Baylor. Baylor lost 6 players to the NFL. Can Baylor afford to lose 6 NFL guys? 6?
Yeah.
6?
I think that's why we look at Dave Aranda the way that we look at him. Like you talk about, what do you call him, the monk?
He's a monk.
Because he's just sitting there looking at you and don't say very much. He's very stoic. But he produces.
He produces.
He produces. And he gets the most out of their team.
So I genuinely think Vegas is actually torn because I'm torn. That's why I feel what Vegas is saying now.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get into, Peter King's column, his Football Morning in America. He stated in his power rankings, he likes the Eagles more than the Cowboys. I'm going to ask my man Harge about that because he's a Cowboys fan. Mm. All of that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn. Bucky and Aaron. Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Top of the charts Tuesday. That's when my man Patrick plays a jams that reached the top of the Billboard charts this day in history. It's my favorite musically themed day of Ball Don't Lie. Top of the charts Tuesday. Who is this actually? Is this James
Brown? He says it at the beginning. It's Archie Brown the Drells.
Archie Brown.
From Houston, Texas.
I know. So I was like, who is this?
H-Town?
Representing H-Town. I'm like, who is that?
Okay. Back in the day, man. Back in the day. Man. Doing the Tighten Up.
Okay, the Tighten Up. I don't think I know how to Tighten Up go.
This song
was a hit. It in the song, I'm thinking.
Yeah, the song's a hit, but it's the Tighten Up.
The Tighten Up. Man, all right. The Tighten Up. All right, there you go. I'm not old enough to know the Tighten Up. I called my mom and dad, asked if they remember the Tighten Up. They were like, why are you asking about the Tighten Up, boy? I'm like, well, I heard it today. You heard the Tighten Up?
You just heard it? Baby, I thought we taught you.
30-minute conversation. You heard the Tighten Up today? Well, mom, we do this musically themed thing on the show. And then, oh, man, it'd be down a rabbit hole. Top of the charts Tuesday. Having a good time because my man Patrick's always working really hard for us. It ain't easy, folks. Trust me. All these themes that we have. They don't come out of nowhere. It's not just magically appears. My man Patrick does a really good job working hard to come up with all the musical things, but also to come up with all the jams and DJ every day of the show. All right, let's start with this Cowboys thing, man. This is because I read the Peter King column and Peter King's Football Morning in America. And he does this. He does rankings, power rankings, I think weekly during the season. And then before the season, he does, you know, a power rankings of his own once the draft is done and once most of the offseason is done. So this is that version of Peter King's power rankings. So number one, he's got Buffalo. Got Buffalo Bills at number one in his power rankings. He's got the Chargers at number two. I told you I like them Chargers, man. I'm a big fan of what they've done in the offseason. Yep. He's got Kansas City number three. So, man, we talked about that arms race going on the AFC West. Obviously, these rankings, they reflect that. He's got the Rams at number four. And he's got Green Bay at number five. Tampa Bay at six. Cincinnati at seven. Baltimore at eight. Philadelphia at nine. Orange. Yeah. Philly. He say, I see the Eagles as the best team in the East.
Come on, man.
He say, I see Jalen Hurts doing enough to be a C-plus quarterback. Well, at least that's realistic. He said, with the addition of A.J. Brown, I see the receiving core of Brown, Devontae Smith, Quez Watkins, and Zach Pascal being good enough to make the Eagles a top 10 offense. See, that doesn't make sense. If Jalen Hurts is going to be a C quarterback, how are they going to be a top 10 offense?
They must be getting rid of him.
Yeah, that doesn't translate. So I think that's kind of BS. But anyway, he goes on to say, I like what they've done on defense. He said, I see Haason Reddick returning to the scene of his Prime and James Bradberry, fortifying a corner depth chart to make this the best defense in the NFC East. Ooh, challenging them Cowboys.
There he go.
He says the Eagles are better on both sides of the ball than they were in January, and that was capped by the Bradberry signing. In the end, they have a chance to win a game in January. The biggest addition was Brown, and I think he can be the difference in two or three games. AJ was a DNA match with us, Roseman told me after the trade. He was exactly what we were looking for in a receiver, and he matched our culture. Good ad. So he's got Philadelphia ahead of San Francisco. He's got San Fran at 10, Philly at 9, and he's got New Orleans at 11. What?
So
I don't know what Peter King was smoking when he did these power rankings.
He had that good going
that,
on.
That real good yeah. good. That Cali Kush. That Heisman from Ricky Williams. He got Tennessee at 12, Las Vegas at 13, Denver at 14, and your Dallas Cowboys, Harge, at 15. What say you about these rankings? What say you about Philly being six spots ahead of the Cowboys?
Yeah, I'm not feeling that. Although I am worried about the Philadelphia Eagles, because I think what they did in the draft was very impressive, and I was very open about that at the very beginning when the draft was happening and some of the pieces that they added to their squad. But again, if you're going to put him as a C quarterback, what is the level that you have Dak Prescott? Are you saying that their defense is going to be better?
He did say he said they don't have the best defense in the NFC East.
And that would be the only reason why the Cowboys would be a little bit further back. But I don't see that happening. I've been very critical of some of the things that I've seen with the Cowboys and the changes and the departures that have happened for the Cowboys. But at the crux of it all, you still have Dak as your quarterback. And I know some people don't believe in Dak Prescott, but
I like Dak.
Dak Prescott was trending in the right direction until he injured his calf, and then everything kind of went another direction. Then we've also, yesterday, we had the conversation about what Zeke Elliott and what Darren Pollard are going to be
doing. Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard. Mm-hmm. Darren Pollard's my homeboy. Tony Pollard are going to be bringing to the table as well, that 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
So, and we've talked about the upgrades that we think are going to happen with the Dallas Cowboys by bringing in a Dante Fowler and drafting a D. Williams on the defensive side of the ball. So I don't see them being that much better, but you have to look at who's in between these guys. And if they're going to look and say San Francisco, I can see that. I think they're going to be good, but we still don't know what Trey Lance is going to be. New Orleans, how? Is that because of their defense? It's got to be. But you brought in some different guys, and they believe in what Jameis Winston can bring to the table.
They have to be believing that.
Then you look at Tennessee. Is Derrick Henry going to be healthy? Las Vegas, we already know what they are, and they brought in Devontae Adams, and they brought in Chandler Jones,
yeah.
So
they upgraded.
They upgraded, too. But then Denver with Russell Wilson. So in between that,
I know.
I could say yes. But looking at them at the very beginning and looking at Dallas and Philly head-to-head, I don't see how Philly's that far ahead of the Dallas Cowboys to be at that number 9 ranking.
I'll admit that Nick Sirianni was a pleasant surprise. I think people hated on Nick Sirianni, and then they immediately realized Nick Sirianni might be a decent coach. But they upgraded, man. I mean, they got five starters probably in the offseason. Did the Cowboys pick up five starters in the offseason? They lost starters.
They lost starters.
They lost Randy Gregory, a top 20 pass rusher. Lost Lyle Collins, a top 10 right tackle. Lost Amari Cooper, a top 15 wide receiver. Hell, the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, picked up a top 15 wide receiver, A.J. Brown. Picked up Hassan Reddick, a starting defensive end.
Right.
A cornerback, James Bradberry, to a one-year proven deal. Jordan Davis going to start that D-tackle for him in the
that
draft.
That Bradberry pickup was the one that really bothered me.
N'Kobe Dean's going to start that linebacker for him.
Yeah.
Kazir White, a guy I told the Cowboys to sign from the Chargers. He signed with him, too. They picked up, like, six starters.
Yeah.
In the offseason, I don't think the Cowboys picked. Did the Cowboys pick up one?
Not real starters.
Did the Cowboys pick up one starter in the offseason, whether free agency or whether in the draft?
Thanks, Rob.
So they lost. They lost starters, and the Philadelphia Eagles picked up and upgraded. So I guess what he's saying is, I'm looking at the upgrades Philadelphia Eagles made, and I'm looking at all the downgrades for the Cowboys. Lost a top 20 pass rusher, lost a top 10 right tackle, lost a top 15 wide receiver, in addition to Cedric Wilson, Connor Williams, Keanu Neal. I didn't even mention those guys. That's a lot of losses.
Yep.
What's the starter they picked up? Give me the starter they picked up. Give me the one starter.
I can't, Rod. I can't. I can't tell you a starter, Rod.
It don't mean like that to me. I'm like, give me the guy is going to replace these guys. You lost four or five starters, and I think Philadelphia picked up four or five starters. That's just, to me, the simple way to look at it, the rudimentary way to look at
it. Yeah, and there's nothing else like it that you could sit there and say free agency was not kind to the Cowboys, and they've been slow playing a lot of their moves, and every day we come in here, what do we hear? Cowboys are looking at this guy. Cowboys are looking at this guy. And that guy, the guy that they're looking at, ends up signing with somebody else.
That's true.
You know, and that's one of the things that I've been looking at as a Cowboys fan, and I can't have that much hope and optimism if they're not making big moves. And it doesn't have to be the big name guys, but you have to do something to make your team get better. I don't think the Cowboys, on the surface, got way better. They brought in James Washington. Okay. Is that going to excite you? I mean, they also drafted Jalen Tolbert, who they think is going to be the next guy. Michael Gallup is hurt. Yep. We don't even know when he's going to play. So to your point, what have they done to get better? So it goes back to what we've been doing and looking at the breakdown of all of this. Maybe the Eagles are a better team than the Cowboys at this particular moment on paper.
And there's no – you guys know what I always say. There's no – a better way to predict either future behavior or predict the future period than to look at past behavior and past situations, past circumstances. And maybe Peter King's just looking at the NFC East and saying, history will tell you that the Cowboys are not going to repeat as NFC East champions. The last team to repeat as NFC East champions was the Eagles.
Yep.
When they did it, from in 2000, they won four straight years of winning the NFC East from 2001 to, I think, 2004. And that was it.
Yep.
That was the last time that a team won consecutive NFC East titles. Chances are the Cowboys are not going to break that trend this year. That's just history would tell you that.
Right.
It's a long time.
Yeah, it's not that often that this continues to happen, and you get a chance to look at what the Dallas Cowboys and Philadelphia Eagles, we all know that at the end of the season, it's always them going against each other. The last game always decides who's going to be the champion. And to your point, Rod, you go back 2001, 2002, 2003, and 2004, that's when they won the NFC East, Philadelphia, that is. Since then, it's been the Giants, starting in 05. Giants, Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, Washington, Eagles, Dallas, Redskins, Cowboys, Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles, Washington football team, Cowboys.
Yeah.
To your point.
No, I'm just saying history is obviously not it's not helping the Cowboys' case, I'll say that. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into the Flex segment. Serious conversation on the Flex segment. We got some sound. We're going to play some audio as well. All of that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 Horn. All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie. Top of the Charts Tuesday. We play jams that reach the top of the Billboard charts on this day in history. And my man Patrick always DJing. Oh, Harge is into this one.
Yeah, this song right here is so smooth.
Harge is, he's all about it. I was like, oh,
I like me some yacht rock.
Harge knew it from just the opening, the intro. Yeah. I was like, oh, I like this song. I have no idea what it was. Now I know exactly what it is. Top of the Charts Tuesday, always trying to bring some positivity to the scene. Okay, before we get out of here, I want to play this sound because I played it yesterday on the show. But it does have to do in our Flex segment. Of course, we talk high school sports. It does have to do with high school sports in the state of Texas. It is from ABC 13 in H-Town. And here is the report, which could potentially be some groundbreaking legislation in the high school sports realm and the UIL and name, image, and likeness era. Here it is.
United Interscholastic League is preparing for the possibility that high school athletes may be able to take endorsement deals. This could be taken up in a matter of months. So let's bring in sports director Greg Bailey with more. Hey, Greg.
How about this? We have talked a lot about college athletes making big money from endorsements. Now that's coming to high school athletics. Coaches in Texas now scrambling to get ready. This morning, the executive director of the Texas High School Coaches Association, Joe Martin, told us he expects legislation to make its way to debate debate in our state house as soon as January. High school athletes in a handful of states like Louisiana, they can already make money with their name, image, and likeness. Many coaches in our area and across the state of Texas bracing for what they think is inevitable. The implications and the impact on high school sports would be enormous. Imagine the star running back at a place like, say, Dallas High School making $10,000 to endorse a local auto dealership.
There it is. I don't know how much legislative support this potential legislation would have, but I do know that the Quinn Ewers story is one of the elements and the factors here, because there is a, maybe it's a paranoia, but there is a belief that really high profile high school football players in the state of Texas will follow Quinn Ewers' lead and will go maximize name, image, and likeness opportunities in other states, even before they are actually student athletes at the college level. And if Texas won't allow them to do it, like Quinn Ewers, they will leave the state, and yeah, they will chase the paper.
Yes, they will.
It's just smart to do so. Make all right, and cash the lottery ticket while you can. You know, get the, you know, make sure you get the opportunity and cash in on it and maximize your value when you can. So I think the fear is that the quarterback position, which is, if you look at name, image, and likeness revenue in college sports, the quarterback position disproportionately gets more name, image, and likeness revenue than other positions. And what state produces more big-time quarterbacks than the state of Texas?
The great state of Texas.
California is in the conversation, but Texas is in a rarefied air by its own. But California is right there. But you can argue Lake Travis and Westlake are the best quarterback factories in the country for a high school. And do you want those valuable commodities leaving the state, therefore commerce leaving your state? That, yeah, I think is the influence here on this legislation, possible legislation.
Yeah, this is going to be something that we have talked about. We got a chance to talk about this a little bit yesterday, Rod, and you brought it up during this time, and it was the point of it being, okay, kids that are in high school and doing other things, they can do music. And we talked about this at the college level. They can do music, they can do acting, they can do all this other stuff and get paid, but we're trying to make the rules where kids that are playing athletics aren't able to benefit from their name, image, and likeness at a high school level. I mean, you can have a kid that is doing football during the day and going to do acting during nighttime and get paid for that, and that's not a big deal. You know, so where are we setting the boundaries in this deal? So I just think it's finally time that if people want to give these kids these opportunities to make money, why not? Why not now? I just think you need to put some sort of restrictions on the fact that kids, transfer portal type stuff, you have a kid going from school to school to school every year because of this stuff. That's the thing that is risky. What is the school's boundaries as far as, you can go to this school, but you can't go to that school because you don't live in that district? Well, I'm getting paid to go to this district. You know, there's got to be some ground rules that are set, because the funny thing about it is it's happening already.
It is.
But now, again, they're trying to stop it because they've heard about it for so many years that, well, this kid just moved in from this place, or this kid just moved in from this place. His parents got a great job. You know, there's just so many different things that are involved in this, that I don't know if it can be legislated.
That's a good point. I don't know if it can be either. And now you're going to add names and likeness on top of, like you said, something that's already been going on. Yeah. We got a special guest coming up next segment.
We got Coach of the Year of the Sun Belt Conference.
Boom.
Steve Trout will be joining us from the Sun Belt Conference Tournament. They play tomorrow night. We're going to catch them right before they get to batting practice.
All right, beautiful thing. Let's do that. On the other side, don't go anywhere. Texas State fans, we got a treat for you right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.